This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Caroline and Uma with you here on the evening edition. Now, the GTP is a comprehensive and ambitious plan to propel Malaysia into a developed nation by 2020. It's aimed at addressing the people's key areas of concern, namely the National Key Result Areas, or the NKRAs. The first phase of the GTP runs for 3 years, 2010 through to 2012, and Pemandu has recently launched the GTP 2.0, which runs from 2013 to 2015. It's continuation and improvement of the first phase. So all of the plans under the GTP came to be through a series of labs conducted, focusing on each of the NKRAs. And today we're going to take a detailed look at the process and methods used in the lab process. We have a couple of guests with us. Adila Junit, currently attached to a US-based MNC, formerly with Pemandu as a senior manager under the Fighting Corruption NKRA, as well as Lavin Rangasamy, Pemandu's head of project management team. Welcome. Very nice to have you here with us.
Thank you.
All right. So let's just start with, establishing a little bit about your background and so on. Adila, you're no longer with Pemandu, but you were with under the Fighting Corruption NKRA. What exactly did your role encompass?
I was with Pemandu for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was actually a member of the lab for the Fighting Corruption NKRA.
Right.
And then I transitioned to being a senior manager with Pemandu for the NKRA for Fighting Corruption.
Okay.
Right. And how were you, how did you get involved in that lab process?
So I was actually with a government-linked entity that was involved with the development and the background work for Pemandu. For the establishment of Pemandu. And so through that, I ended up becoming a lab member, and I had stated my interest in the Fighting Corruption NKRA, and that was how I came to be a member of the lab.
Because, you know, we all know that's the easiest one. Lavin, what about you? I mean, you were the central lead in GTP 2.0 in the lab process. You know, what does that encompass?
Well, we had 7 labs for the NKRA, and we needed a central team to consolidate and ensure that all the labs deliver the output as per the timeline. So what does the central team do is mainly manage all the deliverables from the lab, ensure that the stakeholders are syndicated with, and so on. So we with a central perspective on the outcome for all the 7 labs that you have.
Right, so you have to have that bigger picture in mind.
We had
all
the bigger
time.
Picture. We had to consolidate for the bosses, and ultimately, you know, if you have, a couple of slides to explain all 6 NKRAs, we are the one who actually developed that.
Right. Okay. And with the lab processes in establishing the NKRAs for, I guess, GTP 1.0, mm-hmm. How did that? I mean, step us through that, because I think that's we hear the word lab a lot, and I think people don't generally understand how that works. So.
So this is how we decide what labs to be conducted. Is that the question?
Yeah.
Okay. So for 1.0, I think what happened was we had a public survey done, and we asked the people, the countries, like what are the most important social element that you require the government to intervene in?
Right.
And we had a list of many areas, and from then we had multiple syndication sessions with the ministries and the prime minister, and ultimately we selected 6 NKRA, which are the ones that we have gone through in GTP 1.0.
Right. So for crime, corruption, education.
Education, rule-based infrastructure.
Public transport.
Public transport. And
fighting corruption.
Yes, corruption.
Right, and pretty much the same, I suppose, for GTP 2.0 then?
Yeah. So, but 2.0, what was different is we had another survey out to ask the public to assess how well have we done in GTP 1.0, and if there's an opportunity for us to look at other areas, mm-hmm. what would you like to have? Mm-hmm. I mean, what other areas that you think the government
should... Because things change in 3 years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's whether, whether you're happy with what the progress of GTP 1 is, and B, what other areas that you think we should... be involved in. And we also asked them to give a feedback on, you know, have we covered all the initiatives that you want to see in GTP 1?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So from that, I think we got a survey out that was done across the nation, and there were some areas that was identified by the people, but they were not major feedback. So ultimately everyone said that, you know, the 6 NKRAs were the ones that we still think are relevant for the next 3 years. And also we added the cost of living as the other NKRA as well. Right. So it's not right now we have 7. NKRA.
Okay, so it's understanding the lab methodology here in the evening edition that Bamando actually employs in developing these NKRAs. We'll be right back after ZZ Top's Legs here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station, is Caroline and Uma here with you on the evening edition, and we are talking about understanding the lab methodology that Bamando employs in developing the NKRAs. Our guests are Adilah Junid as well as Lavin Rengasamy, the folks from Bamando.
Before we get into, I guess, lab processes 101, Adilah, just really quickly, what were your overall impressions of the labs as a participant, I guess, before you actually joined the Bamando team?
Right, so bear in mind this was the first time anybody had ever done anything like this. So going in, it was a mixture of being really excited that we were going to do something new, something that kind of promised to bring together all the relevant stakeholders in an area that had never really kind of come mm-hmm. together before in a structured sort of way. So there was that kind of excitement, but there was this also sort of apprehensiveness as well, because we needed to share information, share data, be on the same sort of level, regardless of your rank and regardless of which department or unit you might have come from. So that was generally the impression that I had, that people were sort of excited, but at the same time not fully aware of what this might end up being.
I guess everyone's just testing the waters.
Testing the waters, yeah.
Okay, very cool stuff. Okay, so let's start with lab process 101, shall we? Was the lab process the main part of the vehicle used in actually developing the NKRAs? Was that the only thing that was used?
That was the main thing that was used to develop most of the programs and the initiative that you see in our roadmap.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, 90% of them would have developed from the lab.
Okay, and how many labs were conducted under the GTP? I take it one lab for each NKRA?
Yes, one
pretty
lab.
Much. Okay, was there an overall objective for conducting the labs?
For GTP 2? So ultimately what happened was our roadmap 1.0 ends mm-hmm. end of this year.
Right.
Now, so we had a discussion on, you know, what are the hits and what are the misses that we had in GTP 1
mm-hmm.
and whether was there a need to do GTP 2 based on the surveys that we went out, that we conducted.
Yep.
And ultimately everyone agreed that, you know, this transformation program needs to continue. There were a lot of things that we started doing initially in GTP 1. And there were some things that we achieved very well, and there's some things that we learned lessons from, and then we need to use that for the next coming 3 years. So ultimately, those were the reasons why we continued for GTP 2.0, and also to incorporate other feedback that came in from the surveys that we've done, and also from the ministries who have great initiatives who wants to move them through for the next 3 years.
Right, and how have you found that each of these labs have evolved since GTP1? So Adilah just mentioned that, you know, tons of different people coming from different backgrounds and each one testing the waters. Were people more comfortable with that now? Were people more on a level playing field?
I think people are more familiar with the process. So initially, I think when we had done the labs 2-3 years ago, when we send the invitation letters out and say that, you know, we're going to conduct a 6 weeks lab, a lot of questions comes like, why are we going away full time for 6 weeks?
Mm. And so it is actually full time 6 weeks. Yeah. It's like camp.
Yeah.
And you can't. Back to Caroline's question actually about the objectives,
mm-hmm.
That was also something that was different about this lab. We had fixed problem statements that stated what we wanted to solve. What was the problem that we wanted to solve?
Right.
What did we want to walk away from this lab with?
And that was so one or two. That was
we
one.
We had one for each NKRA, and mm-hmm.
right.
from that you could break it down into sub questions and sub objectives.
Right.
But we were focused in mm-hmm. the answer that you wanted to walk away with.
Oh, very good. Yeah, right. because a lot of the times you never end up having any concrete answers. And
right.
and how difficult was that actually? Was there consensus was among the various players
in
coming up with that answer to walk away with?
well. What we do now, I mean, before GTP2 started, is mm-hmm. we spent a long time to identify the scope of the lab before we jump in and got people in for 6 weeks.
Mm.
It's like, okay, how are we going to define, you know, the true north of the lab, which is ultimately what are the goals that we're going to see, what are we going to achieve in 2015
right.
with, you know, let's say for fighting crime. And once we set those scope out. And that's when we started inviting people, and we explained to them, saying that, you know, in the 6 weeks, we need to identify the programs to get us there. So a lot of groundwork were done before we actually launched the lab.
Okay. So how exactly does the lab process function? Perhaps you can walk us through that.
This would be what happens out of 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so before 6 weeks start, you define the scope. Hmm. You define the charter. What questions, what pertinent questions we need to answer before we go into the 6 weeks lab, and that takes maybe a month. You know, data gathering, doing analysis on, you know, the crime statistics or whatever topic.
All the relevant information you need to answer your problem.
Yes, yeah. And you know, whatever studies has been done, you know, incorporate all those things, and that's a pre-lab process, and of course it's also about the invitation letters. We need to get the location. Venue is very important.
Identify people have, your team members. Yeah.
Yeah, your lab leaders, who are your sponsors, and so on. And so week one, what generally happens is, you know, getting to know you, people, you know, you have various people coming from various agencies and departments. So it's about going through some of the targets that have been set in the pre-work part, getting the alignment, getting a consensus from the people. And a lot of times week one is where people will start raising issues, or, you know, asking, you know, or raising problems.
Right.
So a lot of week one is looking at the current data that you have, and also identifying problems and issues.
So does that question, I guess, change from week one to week two to week three?
Yes.
Okay.
So as lab facilitators, you would need to know your deliverables week by week, and that was the role that I played as central team. We give each lab a target deliverable for the week. So for example, week one, you need to at least identify 5 to 10 big bold ideas.
Right.
For you in terms of this NKRA. And regardless what happens in that 5 days, ultimately on Friday, you need to deliver that piece of work. So how you go around it, and you can spend 4 days talking about issues, but 5th day, you need to give me those bold ideas. And so that changes along the week. So week two would be finalizing or prioritizing that ideas. Then we'll talk about how do you fund it, how do you come up with the implementation plan, who would be implementing, and so on. So that goes on. And each week you'll have the process of your stakeholders coming in to listen to your ideas and to give feedback and to say that, oh, you guys may want to look at a certain area or certain other initiatives that are there. So this changes every week.
Right.
Yeah. And so ultimately, at the end of the lab, you have to produce this document that we call the world-class lab report, where it's pretty much a 1,000 or 2,000 page document.
Wow.
That specifies every single detail that you need to implement all the initiatives that you...
It's got a resource plan, it's got timelines, it's got KPIs. All your data that goes into the plan.
Right. I mean, so the key is basically to walk away with something just concrete.
Yeah.
Right. And as you said, it's an iterative process. So the question that you go in on day one might not be the question that you end up answering, because you realize that wasn't the right question for
to
example.
Begin with.
I guess that flexibility is important. Yeah.
Yes. How are the stakeholders selected exactly?
So it depends on the area of the NKRA.
Yes.
So if it's urban public transport, then it would be the Ministry of Transport. Got the SPAD and all those key stakeholders that are involved in that initiative.
Mm. And also, apart from stakeholders, there are also resource people. So for example, my experience during the lab was that the people in the lab would identify certain people who possess expertise or knowledge or experience that we wanted to tap on. Right. You could draw them in for 1 or 2 day interviews, but they need not be members of the lab. So there's a way of drawing on them as well.
Right, cool stuff. Okay, it's understanding the lab methodology. The folks at Pemandu, how they actually develop the NKRAs. We're breaking it down bit by bit for you. Heading in for the news. We'll be back right after that. Stay with us on BFM 89.9. Good evening, I'm Caroline O.
And I am Uma Pagan, I'm Piketan.
It's the evening edition, and we are with the folks from Pemandu talking about understanding the lab methodology that they employed in developing representing the NKRAs. With us, Adila Junit, who is currently attached to a US-based MNC, formerly with Pamandu as senior manager under the Fighting Corruption NKRA, as well as Lavin Rengasamy, Pamandu's head of project management team. So we were talking about stakeholders a little earlier, how they were selected, who and so on, but there are many, many, I suppose, different levels of individuals who are actually involved in the process. Can you explain to us at what point and in what capacity each of them are sort of involved with the lab process? We have the Prime Minister, for example, ministers, people from the private sector, etc.
So we'll start with this lab sponsor.
Right.
So the lab sponsor is usually the ministers who are accountable for the delivery of each NKRA.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it's the Prime Minister who is the ultimate champion of all the NKRA, and also the Deputy Prime Minister.
Right.
And then you have the key stakeholders who are either the agencies who are responsible to ensure the implementation of whatever programs that are under them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, from these agencies, then we get most of the lab members, all the subject matter experts that come in as lab members,
mm-hmm.
and lab facilitators, and also the lab leaders. So those are the key stakeholders that you'll find in the lab. And of course, we have our Pamandu facilitators as well,
mm-hmm.
who helps in terms of facilitating the lab. Any other stakeholders?
I think that would be it. We do have syndication members, really, people who we consult with on the outputs of the lab, and
right.
also to check the progress of the lab. But in terms of the functions of the different stakeholders, I would say the members of the lab who, as you say, Lavin, are the members of each of the relevant departments or stakeholder agencies responsible for that NKRA, they really are the ones who are responsible for generating the first round of product and input, and then the ministers and the various heads of the stakeholder agencies would be responsible to challenge them and to really make sure that's a robust process.
Yeah, and we also have Dato' Sri Idris, who's an ultimate stakeholder for all the NKRAs.
Okay.
So what is the, am I right in thinking, so the PM handles the ETP and the DPM handles the GTP?
Yes.
Right? So what are their roles respectively? I mean, is it kind of an approval process, or is it actually I guess a Q&A, a challenge of is this right, is this wrong,
you're
right.
doing everything wrong,
you know, is it one of, yeah. So what are the roles?
I don't think
so
it's ever gone told us like you're doing everything wrong, but yeah. So the process happens in the lab,
right.
So every week we do have a syndication session. This is where, like, you know, week one, if you are gonna come up with big bold ideas, like say 5 ideas, so week one we'll get either DPM, the DPM with Dato' Sri Idris and so on, to come and challenge those ideas, you know, find
right.
out what are the details. So this happens throughout the whole 6 to 8 weeks of the lab. Every week you will have a syndication session either with the DPM or with the lead minister. And ultimately during midweek of the lab, let's say, you know, if it's an 8-week lab, by week 4, week 5, you will get the Prime Minister to come in. And that's we call the midweek syndication. So this is ultimately where you either make it or break it. If the Prime Minister would come in and say that, you know, these are really not the things I would expect you to do, then you kind of go back and change the whole thing. Yeah.
But you do have enough people in the lab asking enough questions and tearing each other's ideas apart enough so that it won't really come to it.
Yeah.
Someone will come
yeah.
along
right.
and say that's incredibly wrong.
You're exactly.
Wrong.
Yeah. And so that happens in the whole, the syndication happens in the whole 8 weeks. Now, how DPM plays its role in terms of implementation would be, there is this the DMO, the
Delivery Management Office,
which they have this DTF, which is the Delivery Task Force meeting that's conducted.
You guys love your acronyms.
Yes. Okay. Fine. I'm explaining the acronyms. So, this is a session where all the NKRA will come in
right.
and present the progress of each NKRA to the DPM and get his feedback. And so he monitors the progress. So whenever that he sees, you know, things that are not moving along, and then he either you know, provide assistance or, you know, to remove roadblocks and so on, and, you know, basically push the ministries to deliver. So that's how he plays his role as the ultimate.
Right. I'm just curious though. I mean, I guess just from a sociological perspective, how do people get along? I mean, you said that someone will come come down and tear these ideas apart and so on. Do these labs get incredibly heated? Are there fights?
Week one, yes.
Right.
Week one, it's really a bunch of people who do not stop talking. Like, everyone wants to contribute ideas.
Everyone's an expert.
Yeah. Right.
And it's true, like, too. Most of the cases, everyone is an expert in their own way. Yeah. So it is difficult.
So to get alignment in week one, I mean, that's where the role of the facilitator really comes in, right, as critical. Because
to answer your question, yes, it does get heated, which is, I guess, the idea of the lab. If you can resolve it in those situations, then it's a robust idea to come out of that lab.
Yeah. But what happens in week six is that everyone is friends. Everyone is like, you know, you have to be my friend on Facebook, and you create a whole Facebook page. And so everyone's like, you know, close to each other and so on. So the whole dynamics on week one and week six, completely different. So,
Now with so many, well, you said most of these people are experts in their own fields anyway. How do you ensure, though, that the right people are involved in the labs? I mean, is there a vetting process of sorts?
So we spoke about the True North.
Yes, we did.
Right? Yeah. So once you know where you're heading, and then you kind of know what kind of experts you want to bring in. Mm-hmm. So
Well, in my experience, this was the first lab that I'm talking about, and I'm sure the process of it has improved since then. But we basically invited, if I'm not wrong, who was a member of the lab was who appeared to be the right people from the right agencies.
Okay.
Yeah, across the levels, depending on practical things, availability and the knowledge, their expertise.
All right.
And it's both private and public, isn't it?
Mm.
And did that evolve in the second?
I think ETP,
ETP
had
was more private.
ETP was more private. Okay.
But for GTP, I think this year around, like, low income household, one of the targets were to actually bring in more NGOs in. So we actually got private sectors to participate in this 6 weeks lab. I think for crime they brought in as well for some. So there were batches of private sector involved in GTP2.
Right. One of the, I guess, methodologies that we hear often is the big results fast.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain that?
Yeah, I was just talking to Lavin about this earlier. So big results fast, I think, is an umbrella description of the entire methodology. So, Lavin.
So, how we use, I'm trying to link BFR with the lab. Now, ideally is...
BFR.
It's a big, big, fast results.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you have 6 weeks to decide what ambitious, big, fast goals that you want to deliver in the next 3 years. And that's target setting. And so ultimately the programs are designed to not be things that are business as usual. It'll be, you know, it would be things that are radical that comes in. And I think ultimately it's when you set targets, they're not just the ones that you've achieved last year and you're at 10% and increase.
Ambitious targets.
Yeah. So along that lines, and I think this six or seven key principles for big fast results, which is anchoring to KPIs, and so those are the principles that are adopted in the lab.
Absolutely. Okay, heading in for a break, we'll be right back. BFR not available at your nearest McDonald's, that's for sure. Stay with us. This is BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, the business station. Caroline and Uma with you here on the evening edition with the folks from Pumandu. We're talking about understanding the lab methodology that Pumandu actually employs in developing the NKRAs. Adila Junit, as well as Lavin Rengasamy with us.
I guess the lab process has been described as quite a radical process, and not just by Pumandu, by other people as well.
Yes.
And I guess one of the things... that makes it radical is something you mentioned earlier, Adila, this idea of removing hierarchies, right? Because if anything, the civil service and government is all about hierarchies.
Right. So I, from my understanding, the lab is a situation that you create where you create an environment so that the best ideas can come to fruition and the best, most robust debate can take place. And one of those things that go to it creating that environment is having no hierarchy. To the extent that you still have control over the situation, of course. Mm. So that's one of the rules going into the lab, that it doesn't matter what your rank is or what your grade is in your job, that your ideas are of equal value and your debate is of equal worth as in any other member of that lab. So that's one of the interesting approaches of the lab.
It has to create a little bit of chaos.
And tension.
Yes, it does. It does. It's not easy. I mean, it's ingrained in you to be respectful to
and
your
deferential.
And yeah, it is. So I guess a lot of that goes to the facilitator of the lab and also the members of the lab to understand what you're trying to do in this lab that is different from your daily work.
Correct. There are no stupid ideas, just stupid people.
Okay. Glad you said it.
So, and what about, I guess, you know, in all, this idea of removing hierarchies and so on and so forth, has that proven to be as fruitful as expected?
Yeah, most times actually it works. So what happens in by end of week one, you need to identify who your lab leader and your co-lab leader are, and usually we'll pick the ones that are the most energetic in the lab. And of course, some of the times their bosses are going to be there, and these guys, you know, will as facilitators will tell them, like, you know, doesn't matter what he says, ultimately you're delivering the results.
Wow.
So, yeah, so they'll go on, you know, we don't know what happens after the 6 weeks.
Oh,
I go back
then
to
you're fired.
Yes, grateful as
well. During the 6 weeks, you're the leader. We're going to listen to you. You're going to be presenting to the Prime Minister. And so ultimately, they are the ones who, you know, will make sure the lab members are, you know, everyone is heard in the lab and so on.
Well, that's pretty fantastic, yeah. Hmm. And what about, I mean, I'm sure there must have been instances where, I guess, the information and knowledge that you gather in pre-lab,
mm-hmm.
Contradicts data or contradicts perceptions and beliefs. Mm-hmm. And what happens in those situations? How is that reconciled?
Well, for me, it definitely happened in our lab. Data that came in the beginning later turned out to be inaccurate or the wrong data.
Yeah.
And this actually went on beyond the lab process. So I think another thing to bear in mind is that it's important to achieve the right results at the end of the day, rather than to be so concerned about sort of covering yourself in the event that you submit something that might not be accurate. So you work with what you have that is the best that you might have at the time. So we're open to getting better and new, more accurate data as you move along. That was the process.
How does the lab process tackle difficult or sensitive issues?
How sensitive? Because it's a very safe place.
Oh, I think that's it. Is that you know? Is it like a little psychological thing where, like, they're in a safe house?
Yeah, yeah, it's a safe
zone.
House,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Before they go in, there's a whole onboarding session where it's like a whole process to tell you, okay, these are the do's and don'ts, and you need to sign an NDA.
Right.
It can't leak anything out.
Right.
So no pictures. You take your phones away.
Don't tweet.
No tweeting. Nothing.
Check your egos at the door.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And your whatever hat that you're wearing. So we do all that, and so a lot of sensitive topic comes out. The only problem sometimes we have is how do we then translate those, you know, how do we word those topics into a plan to come up?
Yeah, ultimately be a public document,
so that it won't be, you know, sensitive to be released out. Especially when we do the open days and, you know, all the our roadmap that comes out. How do we then translate a sensitive topic into something positive so that we will develop a plan to fix it?
Okay, so the final outcome then, when the labs are reported, what exactly is contained in those reports?
Because you said there's thousands and thousands of pages.
These problems all articulated beautifully, I take it.
Yeah, so the framework of the report will come up. I mean, we will have ultimately the framework. Why are we doing this? The case for change, which is the need for us to address some of the issues that are in the NKRA. And most importantly, I mean, the reason why the documents are so thick is because each of the programs will have a 3-foot implementation plan. Mm. And I think that is one of the big fast result methodology as well, where we have the discipline of action anchoring into KPIs. And so it boils down to who's doing it, which ministry, what are the funding that are required, and what are we measuring year by year, and so on. So that is a big part of the report.
Yeah, specific, detailed, time-bound implementation plans with resources and named people who are accountable.
And organization charts, your governance structure.
Just a quick thing about what's a 3-foot plan, right? So I guess the analogy is like you're on a plane 30,000 feet above the ground, and so you see this general impression of what the land looks like. But when you're 3 foot away from the ground, you can see the detail, like individual human beings and things like that. That's what we mean by 3-foot.
That sounds like an Idrisism.
Is
it an Idrisism?
It yes. We are all brainwashed.
Now, I'm assuming these documents are readily available to the public, and where can they get that? Our website?
Our website, yes.
Okay.
GTP and ETP website. All these are transparent, all they're out there. I think the roadmap is launched, and Yeah.
Okay, very cool. But about reviews and, I guess, overviews, I mean, that's the next step, right? I mean, I guess it's about making sure everything's on track following the lab. So when does that start? Who does that?
Okay, for GTP2, a lot of the programs would in the lab was decided to start as soon as January 2013. Mm. Now there are some programs like the Go KL buses.
Yes, that started.
So there's bits and pieces who actually started this year itself. Again, big fast results, right? And so a lot of the monitoring will happen next year, 2013, and there'll be a lot of communication, and then a lot of the works will happen at that time.
So the reviews happen next year, nothing ongoing in the meantime, or?
So what we're doing at the moment is wrapping up GTP1. Because GTP1 comes, you know, December 31st. We're ending, we're closing the books, and then we're going to compare how we achieved and so on before moving to GTP2. Mm. Yeah, so that's the transition plan.
Right, and what have you found, and I'm sure you've done this two major labs now, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's a constantly refining process. So, what are some of the shortcomings that you've still encountered in GTP2? And what do you think needs to be fixed?
What needs to be fixed? I think there were a lot of improvement in terms of the process. As facilitators, as a team in Pomandu, I think we're more aware of what we expect, because previously when we went into a lab, we never knew that it's going to be so taxing. You know, you facilitate in the first half of the day, I mean, till 6-7 in the evening, and then you go back and you need to produce your reports, and it works, you know, five, you work on weekends and so on. So, but now I think we're prepared, we're mentally prepared when going in. Some of the difference now is, I think initially when we request for people to join the lab, we could get, you know, whoever we want. Right now it's a bit difficult because they know we're going to take you away for 6 weeks, 8 weeks. So sometimes the selection of people, we don't get the flexibility on who we want.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one of the, so because the success, and Adila would support me, the success of a lab actually really depends on who you get into the lab, because the output, the products, depends on whether you get a bunch of people who knows balance between the subject matter experts and also the ones that know the implementation plans and so on.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Mm.
They're pretty impressive stuff.
I think I've learned, I had absolutely no idea how all of this works.
Yes, and how much
I read about it in the newspapers all the time.
But we have a next lab, we probably have to invite you guys to join. 6 weeks off.
Actually,
I'm there.
I don't think the boss is going to give us a
I need a holiday. I'm there.
No, but I think
it's not a holiday.
No, but I think that's the fascinating thing, because I think people would love to see this, the intricacies of these workings, right?
Absolutely.
Of people being honest and open and striving
and
towards coming. And the fighting.
I want to see the drama.
I know.
Very unusual drama.
You can have a reality show on labs, actually. That's, you know, we need to
all right, Astro, if you're paying attention.
Yeah, we can bring our recording equipment in, and then you'll have a radio show. All right, labs, NKRAs, BFRs, GTP. Obviously, we've had the folks from Pomandu with us this evening. Adila, as well as Lavin, thank you very much for sharing your insights and for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
We're wrapping up the evening edition, and don't forget, you can get more information if you like by going to the website. It's pomandu.gov.my. You can write into feedback.gtp@pomandu.com.my if you have any questions or inquiries as well. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.